First impressions aren't the most important thing. They're the only thing. At Ernie's Print Shop, we'll produce what you need to represent your company professionally. Right now, you can get 1,000 full-color business cards, 1,000 4x6 postcards, or a 3x5 banner for just $60. You choose. Check us out at erniesprintshop.com. Ernie's Print Shop. Over 50 years, one source, one solution. erniesprintshop.com. 502-969-8585.
Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springson of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email myviewmatters@aol.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
So, I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, "I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!"
Once again to the Ed Springston Show, brought to you by the MVM Radio Network, home of LouisvillePolitics.com and EdSpringston.com, where you can go for all the latest. While you're checking out LouisvillePolitics.com, make sure you join our email newsletter so we can send you everything we've got every week or month per your choice. And at the same time, on our RSS feed, we'll make sure the radio shows get delivered direct to your inbox as well, including every podcast that we do. For you guys that are new to the show, 858-683-1326 and 502-805-0334 are the numbers. For you guys that are in the listening queue, we appreciate you being there. But as always, make sure you hit the number one on your dial pad so you can be heard on air. And for everybody else, feel free to join the live chat. It's open right now. You can join us signing in using Facebook or Twitter, whatever's good for you. And with that being said, man, there's a whole lot going on. Welcome to those of you who are already in the chat room, including Cyzerus. He's a regular in our chat room and has a lot to say from time to time, so we love seeing that. And I tell you, we'll just get right into it. Most of you guys know, we talked last night, or Monday night, I should say, last night, Bill, the truth was here, my apologies. But on Monday night, we talked a little bit about what was going on with Attica Scott and Bill Lamb, and they were going back and forth. She tried to accuse Bill Lamb because he said if that's the best she can do, then she needs to shut up. She tried to accuse Bill Lamb of threatening her because she's a woman. She's tried to turn this into a racist and a sexual thing because Bill Lamb basically said, and he did say in those words, you know, shut up. You know, his exact words were, you know, Miss Scott, if you can't say something smarter than that, just shut up. That was it. So, of course, she went on to try to say that Bill Lamb was intimidating her because she was a woman and all this other stuff. You know, so she tried to turn this into all of this other stupid stuff that didn't exist, which I found was hilarious. But, you know, we continually talked about a lot of other things. And as we've talked about and went on with this, well, now, you know, I'm going to put a little update out there, I guess, for a long way of getting there. But a long way of getting there, you know, since Bill Lamb criticized, you know, Attica Scott last week, Attica Scott has decided, you know, that they were going to basically, you know, they sent a few people out in front of WDRB to picket WDRB. Now, here's the thing. This is what's always fun to me. This is what's always fun to me. It never ceases to amaze me that, you know, she wants to go on record and making all these things up and acting like she's been threatened, blah, blah, blah. You know, but what's hilarious here is she was at WDRB because Bill Lamb, who doesn't have to, but he does allow people to do a point of view if they want to. You know, they can talk about anything they want to. So what has happened here is she showed up at WRB, was able to record, or pre-record, I should say, her rebuttal, if you will, to Bill Lamb yesterday morning. And there was, you know, just a handful of people out there decided to go out there in front of WDRB to, I guess, to picket Lamb or to stand up for her. But she was given the opportunity to interview, and that's what this is really all about. She was given the opportunity to interview while she was there, and she wouldn't do it. She wouldn't do it. They were offered, you know, she was offered an interview at WDRB, but she refused to interview. She wouldn't sit down for an interview. So that says a lot right there. You just want to run your mouth, start your trouble, given the opportunity to explain yourself more than a minute, because the point of view segments are about, I think it's a minute and 20 seconds or somewhere around there. I did one or two before. That was it. She was given an open opportunity to sit down for an interview, but she couldn't be bothered with that to explain her position, no. So this is clearly nothing more than Attica Scott, as usual, just trying to set up her next career, which is nothing more than to continue being a race baiter and a race hustler, which is what I think she is and many other people in the community do, and that's why she didn't get elected and she lost to Jessica Green. Seriously. Even the community doesn't support her. So we've got that going on. The chat room. Okay, Sizera says something happened in the chat room. I'm not sure what it was yet. Maybe he'll tell me in a minute. But that's the kind of stupidity we deal with here. In the meantime, Monday night, the Jefferson County Board of Education decided not to raise taxes this year. It's the first time. We thought we were going to get taxes raised for 7 years in a row. This is the first time in the last few years they have not raised taxes. And it was going to be awful hard to, as we mentioned last week, since Superintendent Donna Hargis came out and said, hey, we can make the budget work this year. We don't need new money. So naturally, of course, Brent McKim with the Jefferson County Teachers Association is screaming and whining because we need all the money we can get. We got to have more money so we can do all kinds of stuff, which is a big lie. Because Brent McKim and his teaching staff is overpaid, in my opinion. Do with that what you will. But we've got studies out there that have been reported, and give the Courier Journal credit on this, you know, and you know, that's just the way it is. But according to the Courier Journal, you know, we have the most people that are making over $100,000 a year than any school system our size, by far. You know, so when they can get that under control, then talk to me about more money. According to Donna Hargis, the superintendent, there's about a $14 million shortfall this year. But she said there's no need to request additional revenue. They can make it work, and they can get that to balance out. And it's really interesting. You know, once again, the budget for JCPS is $1.3 billion, you know, which is almost twice as much as it is to run this entire county government, which makes no sense to me. So, you know, this is pretty interesting. But, of course, like I said, Brent McKim was screaming and hollering, we need it so we can increase classroom resources, blah, blah, blah. Give me a break. So we're glad to see that. However, we were warned that next year they will resume raising our rates. So get ready for that next year. We did be able to, you know, stop it this year, so thank goodness for that. Now we're going to get into something I really want to talk about, and I hope we spend some time on this. I want to hear from you guys on this because I tell you, I just am sick of this kind of asinine thinking. 858-683-1326 or 502-805-0334. For you guys in the listening queue, hit the 1. I'm repeating those numbers early tonight because I have a problem here. The Louisville Metro Council, every Democrat on the Louisville Metro Council went to Michael Connell and said, hey, the county attorney Michael Connell said, hey, do we have the right to raise a minimum wage in Jefferson County for employees without a conflict in state law? The game is what these people want to do is raise minimum wage to $10.10 an hour. It is started by the nut jobs. This whole thing is started by the nut jobs, like soon-to-be former councilwoman Attica Scott. And there's not a tax or a wage increase that the Democrats have ever seen in this town that they don't want to take advantage of. They continue lying to people and telling the whole world that by raising a minimum wage, we're raising your standard of living. And I'll get to why that's a fictional lie here in just a second. But according to Michael Connell, the county attorney, you know, there is nothing under Kentucky law that would bar or prohibit Louisville Metro government from adopting a minimum wage ordinance. Well, I disagree with that on the surface. More research needs to be done. But I disagree with that on the surface because I tell you what, there's nothing in KRS 67C, which is the Kentucky state law, Kentucky revised statute that created this nightmare they call merger, that tells them they can raise wages. So, you know, you can go with this either way, and I think there's a very real legal challenge to be made here on that. I think Michael Connell is just doing what he does best, taking care of his good buddies and Democrats in this town. However, since this was put out there and everything else, you know, even Michael Connell's office had to admit that this law is relatively unsettled. This area of law is relatively unsettled because there is no comprehensive legislation that regulates minimum wage at a local government level in Kentucky. Think about that. And that's why I believe it should be challenged in court and beat. We go on with that. Republicans didn't participate in the hearings and everything else that went on because they said they didn't believe the council had the authority to establish the higher minimum wage. I agree with them. But here's the concern. Here's the concern. When we look at this, this whole argument about this minimum wage increase and stuff, I can't understand where in the hell these Looney Tunes are coming from. And here's why. We are the fourth highest taxed city in the nation. The fourth highest taxed city in the nation, folks. Why do you think Zappos and all these other regional employers, if you will, because that's what they like to say here in Louisville now. The Louisville leadership likes to use this region-centric term. They've got GLI, the piece of garbage that thinks they represent Louisville in any way, Louisville business in any way, shape, or form. They like this region-centric thing. GLI also has went with the mayor and tried to push through the local officer sales tax. So the Democrats are trying everything they can to get more tax revenue. But we're the fourth highest tax city in the nation. So all of these new jobs that supposedly come here don't come here. They go to the surrounding counties and the surrounding areas like Bullock County and others. Jefferson County and Louisville lose jobs and hemorrhage jobs hand over fist. We don't have these top jobs. We don't have these $11 and $12 an hour jobs because we are taxed too much as it is. What in the hell is going to happen? Hey, look, we know we're the fourth highest taxed city in the nation, so, you know, we know that's a struggle we have to overcome. But guess what? You're also going to have to pay your employees $3 more an hour to start than any other place has to do by law. Well, now we've just told them we're going to increase their cost even further. If we can't get you on taxes, we're going to get you on wages. And the wages that you pay to these employees are going to create a little bit more tax revenue for us to screw you out of. So it just puts us in a no-win situation. Folks, I'm telling you, this is the kind of crap that forced technology to come up with all these robots that took jobs away from Ford Motor Company, for goodness sake. Ford, GM, Chrysler, you ought to see all the jobs that are being done in these plants, you know, for these robots. So thank you, Cy, for pointing that out. You know, they're putting robots everywhere because they don't want to hire people. You could spend $30,000 to $70,000 for a robot. That's less than a year's daggone salary in some of these plants. And that thing will go on for years. You saved all kinds of money. So now you're telling these employers, if you come here, if we can get you to come here, we expect you, we're going to force you to pay more money than anybody else does outside of Louisville. And the employer is going to say, hey, you know what, I'm going to come there, but I'm not going to hire anybody. I'm just going to install a robot. City of Louisville is still getting paid, right? Are you? So let's say that company takes that business over across the line and goes to Bullitt County like everybody else is. Let's say they take that across the line and goes to Bullitt County like everybody else is because of our high taxes and our high wage guidelines. If you happen to be lucky enough in Louisville and you have to go to Bullitt County to get a job and you get lucky enough to get hired there in Bullitt County instead of close to home, guess what? Now your money has to go less because now you're going to have to spend twice as much on transportation just to get back and forth to work than you ever had to before. Your costs just went up. You lost net income. That's the truth of it. That's the truth of it. Why is it that these clowns want to sit here and play this stupid game? And here's another reality most folks better get used to real quick. Because this is the way these damn Democrat liberals are operating today. I mean, it's the Uniparty at work. Don't get me wrong. They do it with some Republican supporter. They wouldn't do it. Because they don't have the votes to do crap like that without the other side kicking in some. Well, in Louisville they do because you got the majority-controlled council. But let's be real clear here. According to statistics, yeah, I'm going to quote you some numbers here. All right. And I'll tell you why. PolitiFact.com, and I'm going to put this in the chat room for you so that you can read this yourself on your time. Well, on my time, hell, it's your time now, right? But according to PolitiFact.com, they do a lot of fact-checking of all the stuff that goes on. Republican Senator Rob Portman, went through this. Ohio Republican Senator Rob Portman went through this at the national level. There was a national level they've been talking about back in December. They were talking about raising the federal minimum wage, you know, and all this other stupid stuff, which is where all this garbage starts from, okay? And he decided to come up and talk about this study. And here's the study, folks. He said 2% of Americans, 2% of Americans actually get paid minimum wage. That's 2 out of 100 people. Now, he was wrong. Yep, Republican was wrong. I admit it freely. The total number is actually 2.6%. So instead of 2 out of 100, almost 2.5 out of 100. But these numbers come from the Bureau of Labor Statistics. This is what the federal government, these are the things that the federal government uses, the Bureau of Labor Statistics, okay? It's their deal. It's the federal government's official bureau, all right, that puts out the employment and wage data and everything else. This study that was published is called The Characteristics of Minimum Wage Workers, and it's from 2012, okay? So admittedly, it's a year and a half old, all right? But you're talking about 3.6 million workers across this entire country make minimum wage. And those workers are the young people just starting out and the part-time workers. So you explain to me why an employer would want to come here and be forced into high wages for two or three people out of his entire workforce if he has 100, all right? And then if you look at the existing employers that are here today, we just gave them incentive to leave as well. Why did we give them incentive to leave? Quite simply, most of the employers here, even through the temporary agencies, that cannot stand. I have trash-talked temp agencies forever through here. But the temp agencies, they pay the employers when they go to a company usually no less than $9. And the reason the employer does that is because the employer is paying the temp company $10.50, $11 an hour. They're making $1 or $2 off every head they send them per hour. I mean, that's how it works, folks. You pay the temporary agency to supply you with people, and you give them a kickback on it. So you get paid per person. So that's how these temp agencies get funded, see? That's how they get funded. So instead of paying the employee, you know, what they should be worth, $10 or $11, then most of these companies are already paying that $10 or $11, but the employee is only getting $9 of it. But let's not get too complicated here for now. The reality is we already pay more than the federal minimum wage. And if you try to force everybody to go to $10.10 an hour here, every employee who has a job now that's already making $10 an hour, as soon as minimum wage goes up, you know, $1.50, $2, $3, well, minimum wage is going to go from $7.25 to $10.10. So as soon as it goes up $3, guess what? That guy who's now making $10 is going to expect and demand to get paid $13. Why should he have to make the minimum that everybody else is making when he's already making more than that because he's been there longer or he's earned it through whatever he does? Well, instead of just getting two or three people a couple of bucks an hour, you're giving 100 people $3 an hour. Your cost as an employer just skyrocketed. Your cost as an employer just went up $120 per employee per week. If you have 100 people, that's $1,200 a month. It's a lot of money, especially if you're a small business. When you have to raise your cost up so much when you're a small business, you're barely making ends meet now because they're doing everything they can to screw you out of a daggone work. I see too many small businesses suffer because of bullshit government regulation and red tape. And I'm not even including mine. I'm not even including what I do. And this is where we run into problems. This is where the rubber meets the road. This is what these damn idiots don't get. So not only are you trying to raise wages and trying to convince 2% of the people to vote Democrat, because that's all this is about, is getting that 2.6% of the people to vote for Democrats for office. See, I got you higher wages. You're not going to talk about all the people that are unemployed and the people that are going to lose their job because of it, and they will lose their job in this town. Admittedly, there are some places around the country who have experimented and toyed with this higher minimum wage ordinances. Admittedly, most will tell you they have been okay. They haven't really succeeded, but they haven't really failed that much. Pairing against cities who don't have the major tax burdens that we do. Just because something works in City A doesn't mean it's going to work in City B. You have to look at the local factors. And here in Louisville, we're the fourth highest taxed city. This state is among the top 10 highest taxed, reportedly. We have a hard enough time attracting people. And when you try to tell employers we're going to get into their pockets so they have to raise the cost of their goods again, guess what? You make it even harder to come here. The employers who are here are saying, screw it, it's getting too expensive for me to work there. I'm going to have to move. And they do. The employee who is now going to get this extra $3 an hour that they're not used to, 2.6% of the people, and yes, I will continue stressing that. You talk about the small percentage of the American workforce, get real. But those people are going to have to spend more money making up to almost $3 an hour that they think they just got. And I'm getting sick and tired of the Democrats' argument. We got people raising their families on minimum wage, and they just can't make it. Guess what? When I started out, I was making minimum wage, too, and today I'm less than that, believe it or not. We don't make money here. We make a difference. But you know what? You learn to live on what you make. If minimum wage isn't giving you enough money to pay your electric bill every month, then give up your damn cell phone. If minimum wage isn't giving you enough to pay rent this month, then give up the clothes that you're going out and buying. Give up all the stuff that is unnecessary to take care of your necessary needs and learn to live within those means. And learn to find a better way to be successful and move up. And I don't mean that little piece of paper they call a college degree that is basically just, you know, fire starters today. You take a college degree, light the end of it with a match and hold it underneath a bunch of twigs in your fireplace, it might start a good fire for you. Because that's all it's worth anymore. In this country, we have between 500,000 and 1 million jobs, depending on which report you look at, that we cannot fill. We cannot fill these jobs. These jobs pay between $50,000 and $100,000 a year. Do you know why? Not because they require college degrees. That's the whole point. Everybody is so damn busy getting hung up in academia wanting this college degree, thinking that their life can be easy, that we aren't taking care of the skills and the vocational training that we need to train people to be more skilled labor. Oh, we had the opportunities, but your Democratic mayor, Greg Fisher, decided to work with his fell-out buddy, Kevin Cosby, and destroy the workplace training facility program that people spent a hell of a lot of time, effort, and money on to build in the West End. That died for now. They're going to end up doing it with JCTC out in the East End to keep the upper crust elite perfectly happy, because my sister Lynn Fisher runs CEO Catalyst Learning and she runs JCTC. So why the hell do I want to go down to the West End or anything else and work with Kevin Cosby when I can have it in my all-white Christian neighborhood? And that's the truth. And now we want to toy with this minimum wage. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. So we're going to push guys, we're going to push workers out of the labor market and force them into unemployment, making an even bigger burden on an already overburdened social welfare programs. when you make it in this country where it's easier, you incentivize people to go on to welfare versus working, you're going to have the serious problems we've got right now. Small businesses want to invest and grow and create jobs. They really do. They can't. They can't do it because they can't compete with the welfare system. It's the truth. It's the truth. We have made it easier, we have made it more affordable for you to go to the welfare system in this country than to go out and earn a living. That's pathetic. And when you talk about raising minimum wage to $10.10 an hour and raising it, you know, I mean, you're talking about almost $3 in one city, you've just created an economic disadvantage for everybody in this city. So while Greg Fisher and his own businesses, his Democrat Mayor Greg Fisher here in Louisville, his own businesses in southern Indiana because the taxes right here are too high for him. His buddies at GLI, ask them where the majority of their businesses are. A lot of them will tell you their businesses in southern Indiana. They don't mind taking whatever money they can steal out of Louisville, but their bread and butter is in southern Indiana. That's why I like this region-centric mindset. Isn't it time we got back to this Louisville-centric mindset? Isn't it time we did that? When do we put Louisville and Jefferson County first in our politicians' eyes? When do we create an opportunity here? And don't give me the bullshit about protectionism.
And, well, you basically sound like you're trying to protect our borders just like we're trying to say on a national level, blah, 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 blah.
That's a crock, and you know it if you try to make that argument. What I'm saying is we need to invest in Louisville and focus on Louisville. Make Louisville Louisville-centric, not Regent-centric. Southern Indiana is doing just fine on their own. Why are we not competing with them? Why are we not looking at Indiana's tax structure and saying, you know what, they've got lower taxes, they've got a better way of doing business over there. You know, why aren't we going to Bullock County and saying, you know what are they doing that we're not doing? Instead, every time you turn around, we've got to look at an LG&E surcharge fee. We've got to look at a new tax here. We've got to look at an MSD rate increase. We've got to look at a Louisville Water Company water increase, you know, that is owned lock, stock, and barrel by the city of Louisville. That's where your millions of dollars go, right? Now we got to look at a JCPS increase next year. At least we got 1 year reprieve from that. And I'm sick of hearing these people screaming. They had some people screaming when they were talking about possibly raising the property taxes for the Jefferson County Public Schools. Well, it's only $20 a year. When every single day of the week somebody comes to you and starts screaming it's only $20 a year, smack them upside their head. Smack them upside their head. Because they're too stupid to see what's going on to it. They're too stupid to see how that mentality is destroying us. 20 here, 20 there, 5 here, 5 there is costing us hundreds of dollars more per person that's going to this government, and they continue wanting more. And now we're trying to make another way to run people out of the workforce. It is disgusting. It really, really is. It is disgusting, it is divisionist, and that's why we can't get ahead. And here's some more information you're going to need to know. But you know what? I'm going to say that. We've got to take a break, folks. We're going to take the bottom of the hour break. When we get back, we're going to talk about just how bad minimum wage is going to destroy you. And I'm going to let you know why, thanks to the idiot policies that we continue getting out there, not only in Louisville, but indeed from the White House down. You guys are thinking, boy, he's really stretching now. No, I'm not. Where do we get back? You're listening to the Ed Springer Show right here on the MVM Radio Network. Stay tuned.
First impressions aren't the most important thing. They're the only thing. At Ernie's Print Shop, we'll produce what you need to represent your company professionally. Right now, you can get 1,000 full-color business cards, 1,000 4x6 postcards, or a 3x5 banner for just $60. You choose. Check us out at erniesprintshop.com. Ernie's Print Shop. Over 50 years, one source, one solution. erniesprintshop.com. 502-969-8585.
Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springson of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email myviewmatters@aol.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
Back right here at the Ed Springson Show on the MVM Radio Network. Don't forget to check us out at LouisvillePolitics.com and EdSpringson.com. You can find so many things there that we've talked about and stories we do throughout the years and investigations and everything. Join our email newsletter. And if you're so inclined, click that donate button on the right side of the page. We can certainly use your help at EdSpringson.com or LouisvillePolitics.com. We can certainly use your help. Your donations help us keep all of this alive and have for the last few years, and we appreciate it. I, you know, we're going into break and we're talking about this minimum wage stuff. And I'm telling you, I mean, I really get angry when I continue talking about this stuff. I really, really do, because they just don't get it. They just don't get it. I remember as a young man when I first started out, you know, back in the early 80s, you know, minimum wage was supposed to go up to $3.35 an hour. Boy, everybody thought that was the greatest thing in the world. And as a young man, I realized right away, because when I started making $3.35 an hour for one of my starter jobs, right? When I first started making $3.35 an hour, I found out that it didn't go as far as it did before I started at $3.35 an hour. Not because I was doing anything different. Hell, I was a young kid. I wasn't doing anything different. Costs went up because the employers are the ones who are going to raise their costs to pay you that money. So when you get that so-called raise in pay, you know, because everybody's going to get this minimum wage hike, it's not exactly a raise in pay because it's going to catch you in higher cost of doing business. So you have to really think about that. And here's something, you know, most people aren't talking about, and I'm going to go ahead and put this out there in the chat room too. This is at Economics 21, and I think it's very, very interesting information that you guys, you know, really probably ought to look at. But according to this, you know, we talk about, you know, the unemployment rates are going to go high when you continue raising minimum wage. And, you know, that may not be true in every area. I will admit that freely. You know, maybe there's some people that just, you know, can't handle that. Small businesses can't, you know, but maybe your major employers can suck that up, and they will. You know, when you go to a Ford, for example, these guys are already making $27 an hour. If the federal minimum wage goes up $3 an hour, or if the Louisville minimum wage goes up $3 an hour, the next thing you're going to see is this union is going to start threatening strikes and stuff because they want a $3 an hour raise too because Louisville decided they were going to raise the minimum wage to everybody. So why shouldn't they get the same price increase? And then we got Ford back on the chopping block, going to put thousands of people out of business. You think I'm lying? I'm not. We barely survived the last chopping block back in 2007. You got to really look at the reality here and how this stuff goes. But here's some things you're not looking at either. Okay? Let's look at this. For those who are making minimum wage today, you have these different things called federal poverty levels and things like that, right? Everybody's familiar with that stuff, right? You know, anybody who is below 138% of the poverty line is eligible for Medicaid. That's standard right now. All right? Now, of course, that poverty line changes. If you have a household of four people, you know, that financial line is different than if you're an individual. Okay, I mean, let's get that much clearer there. All right. But when you look at this, for a single adult to qualify for Medicaid, you have to make $16,000 a year. At today's minimum wage of $7.25 an hour, you're going to fall underneath that level. At $7.25 an hour on a full-time job, you're going to fall beneath $16,000 a year. So guess what? According to the Obamacare and all the other stuff, you're going to get Medicaid. Congratulations. You have medical care. But wait. Wait. There's more. Over half of the 2.6% of the people who make minimum wage are part-time workers. Okay? They're part-time workers. So we're going to knock them out of the equation for a minute. If you're a full-time worker working at 7.25 an hour, you're going to make about $13,195 a year, which is below that $16,000 threshold as a single individual. When you raise minimum wage to $10.10 an hour, which is what we want to do in Louisville, right? Remember, and Governor Steve Beshear is touting this big old Affordable Care Act bullshit that he started with Kentucky NEC and Kentucky NECT and opted into the federal Obamacare health exchanges, right? Well, as soon as you get that bump from 7.25 to $10.10 an hour, guess what? Your annual income just went up to $18,382, assuming that you get to keep your job and your employer doesn't say screw it and leave town. You just picked up too much money to qualify for medical benefits. So under the Affordable Care Act medical expansion and under this minimum wage that we want to put here in Louisville, thanks to Kentucky being a partner now with all of this stupid stuff, all right, you got a hell of a lot of people who are going to lose their benefit coverage. Guess what that does? You lose your Medicaid coverage, It forces you. Oh, my goodness. No, tell me it ain't so. Yes, if you lose your Medicaid coverage because your wages went up on this minimum wage, you're gonna get $3 an hour, but now you're going to be forced into the tagline Obamacare Federal Exchanges. The Obamacare Federal Medical. If you don't have Medicaid, you're required by law to buy health insurance. So now you've got, you know, this extra $3 an hour doesn't look so good, does it? Because that extra $3 an hour you're going to get now is going to cost you more than that. Once you get that $3 an hour, 30% of that's gone. Knock it off. It's the taxes. On a 40-hour week, you just made $80 a week, right? But now you pay for benefits. You're not going to get a benefit plan with Obamacare as a single individual for under $320 a month, because that's what you're making on your raise. So now you pay out whatever money you made on the raise for medical benefits, and the cost of doing business is going to go higher, so you just lost even more money. Folks, it's not brain surgery. It's simple mathematics by the rules of the game that these asinine clowns have put together. We know that the Affordable Care Act is a joke. We know that these guys are lying about the numbers. They can't enroll enough people to pay for it. They keep pushing everybody onto Medicaid and Medicare. But they also know that if they raise the minimum wage, those people are going to come off of Medicaid and Medicare, and they're going to be forced into the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare exchanges. They're going to be forced to fund it, whether they like it or not. And that means it's going to cost more than they make. It's a bait and switch. It's smoke and mirrors. I can't be any plainer than that. So you tell me, how in the hell can we justify this? How do we justify this? And the majority of the minimum wage workers are young, single people. So we have to raise our minimum wage. I'll be honest with you here, and I know this is going to sound bad, and I admit that freely. But really, if you went to McDonald's lately, McDonald's actually pays more than minimum wage. It's not $10 an hour to start. But most places are going to start you know, a little bit better than minimum wage. So let's say it's $7.50 an hour, depending on which McDonald's you go to. But if you went into a McDonald's lately, and you go up to the counter to get service, and the person who's waiting on you can't speak a coherent sentence. They walk like they're in slow motion, like it's a slow motion replay to get your order. They have no manners whatsoever. They can't even pronounce, "Do you want fries with that?" Intelligent manner. It's not because they're not making enough money. Because they don't care. And that's holding them accountable to job skills. If we can't hold somebody accountable to a simple job skill, like asking, "Do you want fries with that?" or "Thank you, ma'am and sir," and basic decency, do you think the guys are ever going to do better than minimum wage? Do we continue raising minimum wage for 1.3% of the population of our young people who don't want to really do a good job, who think the world revolves around them, and it's more important? And I've had this happen to me. It drives me nuts. One of these fast food restaurants, on more than one occasion, a person who's supposed to be waiting on me when I walk up to the counter, I guess their daggone phones are on vibrate, they'll actually pull their phone out of their pocket and text real quick and answer whoever's texting them before they wait on me. They're on the clock. You guys have had this happen to you. You tell their bosses, and they just don't care. I've had at least two owners of these fast food restaurants that I've talked to said they would love to fire them, but they can't get a body to replace them. But anybody to hire them is going to be just as bad. Sometimes they'll stay with what they got and save money trying to retrain somebody. But these people need a $3 an hour raise. Think about that. think about that. When we look at this overall, let's go to the Congressional Budget Office. Let's really look at this, too. This is one of the flaws in the welfare system. Our government has made it more attractive to live off of welfare than to go to work. They've created these fictitious income lines that tell you what you're supposed to be. They're going to give you everything you need, which is a lie. Because what they give to somebody who doesn't want to earn it is coming off of somebody else's back that is. You have this thing called responsibility, personal responsibility, and social responsibility in this world, folks. It's not your neighbor's priority in life or their mission in life to provide for you when you're very capable of providing for yourself, but you're just damn lazy to do it. And that's not the case in all people on welfare. But I'm getting sick and tired of these people screaming and hollering, well, I can't provide for myself because I have kids and somebody's got to take care of my kids. You had the kids when you wasn't providing for yourself in the first place in most cases, not all. Why did you put yourself in that position? You got to make better choices with your life. And we're not being taught that at home. So our government comes in out of the graciousness and the goodness of their heart. Oh, you poor thing. You weren't taught any better. Here's some money. We'll take care of it. And you just lost incentive to learn. According to the Congressional Budget Office, and the link to this story is in the chat room, as I mentioned, the Congressional Budget Office says that the ACA, the Affordable Care Act, known as Obamacare, is going to reduce the labor supply. What? Yeah, I said reduce the labor supply. And what they classify as a labor supply in this article is the amount of people who choose to work. It's going to reduce the labor supply by between 2 and 2.5 million full-time workers. Part of the reason for that is just garbage. Trying to raise minimum wage and everything else. Nobody wants to work full-time at $10 an hour if they go over this financial threshold that says now you have to pay for your own benefits because you haven't made any money. You haven't made any money. It's pathetic. And until we get that in our heads, we've got a problem. Do you want to know what's wrong with Louisville today and the nation at large? It's this kind of asinine thinking by the liberal elite and the privileged class. And I'm quite serious about that. When you look at your congressional elected officials and realize that a hell of a lot of them are millionaires, and if you want to look at your top 10 to top 15 millionaires in Congress, you're going to see that most of them are liberal Democrats. And, oh, yeah, most of them have made a career out of politics. Hell, John Yarmuth himself made millions of dollars as soon as Obamacare was passed. Why was he enthusiastic to pass Obamacare? Because Democrat John Yarmuth from right here in Louisville has two businesses. He's got some barbecue restaurants that his family owns, and he's got some, oh, by the way, guess what? He's got some health care facilities that his family owns. When Obamacare went into practice, because he just got some great people put into his health care facilities that the government's going to pay for. Instant money. He benefited from Obamacare. Of course he voted for it. The Affordable Care Act. Actually, I think he's got a pretty good scam. His restaurant business is Sonny's Barbecue. Sonny's Barbecue doesn't pay his waiters and waitresses minimum wage. He wants everybody else to get it, right? He doesn't pay his waiters and waitresses $7.25 an hour. But he's telling you and your employer that you have to pay $7.25 an hour. Who the hell is he right? Where does this hypocrisy stop? Why is nobody calling out bullshit? Those are the problems. If you think about it, hey, what the hell? It's a great thing, ain't it? You go to Sonny's Barbecue, you eat all this daggone food that's going to fill you up with stuff that's going to kill you and force you to go into a nursing home. Right? feed them bad food, pay your employees under the daggone minimum wage scale because you had to make everybody else do it. So everybody else got money to come in there and spend on your food, and then you get to send them to your daggone medical facility when they get old because they destroyed the bodies up eating that bad food you're serving them. Hey, that's a pretty good circle. Maybe I'm in the wrong business. You never know. So we've got to do this. And then let's look at our education. You got these young college students who are going out there for a piece of paper that's meaningless, as we mentioned, a meaningless piece of paper. But they're going after this piece of paper and spending their time in academia. Middle Tennessee State University has decided they're going to restrict. They're going to restrict their student work because they have to come into compliance with the ACA, Obamacare. Middle Tennessee State University President Sidney McPhee has said, according to the reported requirements of Obamacare, graduate assistants, faculty members, and resident assistants are barred from working on-campus jobs that exceed 29 hours of work per week. What does that mean? A lot of people are working themselves through school. A lot of these are graduate students, graduate assistants who are working themselves through school. And now they're only allowed to work 29 hours a week. Only allowed to work 29 hours a week. You're right, Cy, Middle Tennessee State. You're right, it is a state university. But, you know, why are they only allowed to work 29 hours a week? Because if they go over that, even though they're still considered a part-time employee, if they go over that, if you work more than 29 hours a week, it's going to add $6 million a year in penalties to Middle Tennessee State. And according to our good friend Cy, I like the way you put that, Cy. Because everybody wants to say it's these greedy capitalist institutions, these greedy businesses that are causing all this problem. This is a state university, so they're not a greedy capitalist place. This is your greedy federal government, your greedy liberal agenda. So these people cannot work multiple jobs anymore. No. If you work on campus, you can't work two jobs. You can't work 15 hours a week at this job, 15 hours a week at that job. You can't go from the bookstore to the cafeteria on the same campus 15 hours a week because that's a 30-hour week total. You can only work a total of 29 hours per week because the institution will lose $6 million in penalties. You know, even graduate assistants who will pick up some research work. You know, there's a lot of people that will pay for research work and give grants to the university that a graduate assistant can do, and they use the grant money to do the research. Nope. Can't do that. They're not allowed to work. Wow. What does that tell you? What's really interesting here is they're not the only ones. On-campus employment is being cut everywhere. Since 2012, with the passage of the Affordable Care Act, there have been at least 111 colleges and universities who have cut back on adjunct professor roles. They've had to cut back on adjunct professor roles because of Obamacare. Links in the chat room, folks. It's from Reason.com. That comes from Investors Business Daily. Now, I ask you, what do we do about this situation? What do we do about this situation? It's disturbing. And I'm going to give you one more thing to think about when it comes to these wages and stuff, and we'll move on to a little bit later. Actually, we'll have to close the show. We're about out of time. We're running short on time, but I want to get this out there. Forbes.com is reporting that Burger King is about to become a Canadian company, Walgreens is about to become Swiss, and Medtronics is about to become Irish. I actually got into a couple of conversations today with some people I know, and I'll be honest with you, two of them are Democrats, It was a group one with some people I know. Two of them were admitted Democrats. Three were admitted Republicans, and we actually had one independent in the mix. So with me, that made seven people. But you know, what's really interesting here, as I was telling them about this story, and the arguments immediately started. The argument was that bullshit, Burger King's not going to become Canadian. This is all a stupid story by Forbes and everything else. Nobody wants to look at the reality here. Here's the reality. Burger King is openly seeking to buy something called Tim Hortons. It's a coffee and donut chain. It's a hell of a lot smaller than Burger King ever thought about being. But if this purchase goes through, then Burger King can now claim that it is a Canadian business for tax purposes. It doesn't have to move its headquarters. It doesn't have to move its restaurants. But it can claim itself as a Canadian business. And as a Canadian business, the corporate tax is lower than what we pay here in the U.S. So Burger King will effectively pay less in taxes by claiming themselves as a Canadian business. Will they do it after this purchase? Who knows? But the reality is they probably will, because if you don't, you're a fool, especially when you have restaurants in an area that said you have to pay $3 higher than anybody else. That's a hell of a lot of hamburgers, folks. You look at that. That's a real serious issue. President Obama sits here and talks the same daggone thing and accuses these guys of being corporate deserters. When you have the highest tax structure of anybody in the damn world, you've got a major problem. President Obama has pissed off every company and calls these people corporate deserters. According to Secretary of the Treasury, Jack Lew, he says that these companies are unpatriotic. But you know what? That's garbage. Anybody, including any individual in this country, when you have a chance to save taxes, you save them. If there's a loophole and legal, you're going to do it. I'm sorry. This is a legal loophole that they built up. This is their fault, not ours. When you look at the corporate income tax rate, the top rate of corporate income tax, top rate, is 35%. It is by far and large the highest tax rate in the world. If every company actually had to pay 35% instead of taking advantage of the loopholes they do, you couldn't afford to live in this country. You've got to take advantage of what you can take advantage of, because 35% is the corporate tax rate. That is ungodly. You know, so you take advantage of loopholes, deductions, and anything else you can. We all do, as long as it's legal. But it's very, very interesting. I thought that was a story that should come there that you guys should know about. Make sure you're paying attention to the big picture, because what's going on today is an intentional squeezing to turn us into a socialist, communistic society. And what's really funny is these socialists don't even get it. If communism is so bad and socialism is so bad that most of these clowns, the immigrants, want to come here for the free market economy, then they make their money and then they start trying to make everybody where they came from. That's really funny to me. I had one person today tell me, you know, it must work pretty good. China's exploding. China is exploding economically because they're using free market principles in their business sector and using communist principles against their people and not letting them enjoy the fruits of it. They're not using a socialist thing. How ridiculous is that statement? There's not one country that explodes that isn't using a free market thought process in their economy. There's not one country in this world that is purely, truly a socialist or communistic society, except in the way that they treat their people, not in the way that they earn their income. So I don't want to hear those arguments. It's pretty pathetic. And I tell you what, I think we're going to make this my final thought. People will only give you what you're willing to accept. And folks, we have accepted so much worse. than we can be from our elected politicians and our so-called leaders. Isn't it time to raise your expectations? Earlier today, I was on a friend of mine's radio show as a guest, Meshawn Daniels. He does the Focus show on Wednesday mornings at 10 o'clock right here on BTR. And the very last question Meshawn asked of his guest, and I've got to tell you, this guy was very impressive. I was really impressed by his guest today, Richard Whitlock. Fantastic guy. But Meshawn asked a question of Richard and then of me. Is it too late? Is it too late? My answer to you on that question to this audience is simple. When you ask the question, is it too late? The answer is simple. That's entirely up to you. That's it for tonight. I'll be back tomorrow night at 7 o'clock, same time, same channel, right here. Don't forget to hook up with our good friend Ken Molman on Sunday night at 7. But we'll see you tomorrow. Have a great night, folks. Thank you so much for listening. We appreciate it.
Greed, deception, abuse of power, that's no plan. I'm the enemy, because I like to think. I like to read. I'm into freedom of speech and freedom of choice. I'm the kind of guy who likes to sit in a greasy spoon and wonder, gee, should I have the T-bone steak or the jumbo rack of barbecue ribs with a side order of gravy fries? I want high cholesterol. I want to eat bacon and butter and buckets of cheese, okay? I want to smoke Cuban cigars the size of Cincinnati in a non-smoking session. I want to run through the streets naked with green jello all over my body reading Playboy magazine. Why? Because I suddenly might feel the need to, okay, pal? I've seen this. Do you know what it is? It's a 47-year-old virgin sitting around in his beige pajamas drinking a banana broccoli steak thinking I'm an Oscar Mayer wiener.